Okay. Would you join me this morning in Psalms 55, the 55th Psalm? Psalm 55. This morning, I finished up a series of seven messages last week from the book of Proverbs. And so today we'll begin another message here, Psalms 55. And I'll give you the title of the message as we get into the message, okay? I won't give it to you right off the bat. You'll see it as we go through, okay? So Psalms 55. And once you're there, you get your hands free, or if you're still working, that's okay. You keep using your fingers to do the walking through the holy pages. How many of y'all remember that commercial? Fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Y'all remember that? Well, our fingers through the holy pages. How about that? Okay. Would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I read a couple of verses or a few verses here, I want to say what I said earlier in the service. God has blessings for us that he wants us to receive. And so I stole the kids' treasure chest for just this Sunday, just to represent a little bit. Because the Bible says that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so Jesus died and rose again to purchase the blessings for us. And I said, that's why I said earlier, I want to be a good receiver. I want to receive everything that God has for me. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, be a good receiver? But I believe scripturally, to be good receivers, we must also be good casters. Psalms 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I know we might have different translations. I'm using the New King James Version. But would you read this verse out loud with me off the screen? Let's read it together. Ready? Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That word cast in the Old Testament and New Testament literally means to throw. It's to throw. So whatever burden, in fact, let me cast your burdens on the Lord. That word burden also can mean care. It's both burdens and care. And God says, cast it on the Lord. That is the name of, some would say, Jehovah or Yahweh. If some of you are familiar with when God called Moses at the age of 80 to go back and lead his people out of slavery, God said, well, who are you? Who am I going to say sent me? And he said, you tell them, I am. I am sent you, not I was, not I will be, the great I am. So he says, cast your burden on this great I am, because he can handle them. Cast your burden on the Lord. Now, David mentioned several of burdens that he personally experienced in this psalm. I'm going to look at just a couple of them, and maybe you can even relate, or we can all relate to having some type of burden. Isn't that correct? Something to weigh us down. I'm talking about on the inside. So Psalm 55, verse 3, would you drop back to verse 3? Psalms 55, verse 3. David said, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So a couple of burdens he was carrying within him are the hatred of others. People hated him, and they tried to oppress him. Then verse 4 says, my heart is severely pained within me. So people hate him. He's heartbroken. That's a heavy burden, isn't it? And the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Hatred, oppression, brokenhearted, and trembling in fear. There's such a fear that can grip us, it affects us physically. I won't read every verse of this psalm, but there was violence and strife in the city where he lived. But I would like you to drop down to verse 21, because in verse 21, this is a tough burden. This man was close friends to David, and they used to actually worship God together. He said, we used to walk to the worship gatherings of the feasts of the Lord. We were in fellowship together, and that man turned on David. And this is what David says in verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. That's a tough burden to bear. But thank God we don't have to. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. But let me ask you this. If you've ever had those burdens and cares, or I'll ask it this way. Have you ever felt like you just wanted to get away from the turmoil on the outside, the trouble on the outside, and the trouble within, and just get away somewhere where you could find some rest? Can anyone say, Now, I'm so glad the Bible is real. Now, would you drop back to verse 6, still in Psalms 55. We'll stay here. Psalms 55, verse 6. This is what David said. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. Verse 8 says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. You see how he wanted to get away? Oh, my goodness. But how many know we can't get away from every burden in life? But we can cast them on the Lord. So we can't get away from them all, but we can cast them onto the Lord. And then verse 23 of Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 23. Because here is the key to casting. Verse 23 says, sorry, let me turn the page. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, or so many who choose a life of violence and just murder and crime and so forth do die untimely deaths. I looked that word up. It actually means that to divide. And I wonder if there's more than a physical meaning. I wonder if we choose a path out of God's will, it will divide what even potential we could have had for the Lord. And then he sums it up with these words, but I will trust in you. That's the key. Here it is. The key to casting is trusting, because if I don't trust him to handle it, I'm not gonna cast it. So here is the message this morning. In fact, let me give you a quick definition so we know what this word means. Trust just simply means this: to rely on or put confidence in. To rely on or put confidence in. So David said, I got all this mess on the outside. My emotions are raging on the inside, but I've learned and I'm learning, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved or removed. And he says, I'm gonna trust in you. So here is the title of the message, all right? It's five words, three steps, five words, ready? It's trust God, cast and release. Trust God, cast and release. Receive, sorry. Cast does mean to release it. Because if I go to cast it and I don't release it, it's, thank you. Trust God, cast and receive. talking about being good receivers. Trust God, cast, and receive. Would you say that with me? Trust God, cast, and receive. Now, I want to give you a scripture. If you just stay right here in Psalm 55, but let me read these words to you if you want to write them down, okay? It's 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because not only does casting require trusting, casting also requires humility. I believe I can explain that here in just a moment. But 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you. Would you say all of you?
All of you.
Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Humility is Christ-like and it's for us all. The context of that word humility is in the fellowship, is Christian fellowship. I need to be humble enough to not only think about myself, but to think about you. So the context of humility is Christian and godly fellowship. So he says, with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, because of that, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Still same sentence, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, we talked about burdens and cares. So burdens, he says, God gives grace to the humble. So because of that, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him. Do you see how I can't do the casting until I do the first part of the humbling myself? So same thing, trust, humility. And I looked this word up here on cares too. I think we can all relate to this. It had two definitions, two words, anxieties and worries. Now, y'all spiritual people, y'all never have any trouble with any of these things, right? Cast your burdens on the Lord. Casting all your cares, casting all your worries, all your anxieties, casting it all on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. Thank God that he does. I've come to realize in this life, we will always, would you please say always?
Always.
We will always have something to burden us, be some care to weigh us down. We will always have some potential issue or problem or person or trial or something that would make us anxious, fearful, and worried. The key is, what am I gonna do with it or with them? Because there's always, never think that I can just be at peace forever as far as like nothing just going on in my life. So what do we do with them? I believe this is where pride, and maybe you can relate to what I'm saying. Pride wants to come in and say, but I've got to be the one to try to fix. So y'all can relate. I've got to be the one. If I can't control it, I don't like it. Or will I genuinely humble myself and say, Lord, that's all on you. Here, I'm gonna cast it. I'm gonna cast the burden. I'm gonna cast the care, the anxiety, the worry, and thank you that you care for me. And then receive. So there is the trust in God, cast and receive. And now how do we cast? Would you look at verse 16, still Psalms 55. Psalm 55, verse 16. How do we cast? Because we got to make this practical, man. We got to live it out. He says in verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Notice he says, I will. That's future tense. But he shall. Is that confidence and trust in the Lord? Is that relying on him before it even happens? He said, I'm gonna call on him and he shall save me. But verse 17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound like a little, now I lay me down to sleep, everything's going fine for me right now prayer? If we're crying out morning, noon, and night, and I'm not just a little, I'm crying out, that's desperation. But that's part of casting. And then verse 18 says, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. So I love that. See, can't you relate to that? Can't you relate to the struggle of the pressure or the emotion and the turmoil and the conflict, and yet your faith is saying, but Lord, I'm coming to you because I trust you. I'm crying out to you because I trust you, and I need your help with this. I can't handle this. I cast it. Trust God. So how do we cast? I say, Lord, let's just get alone with God. I think we've developed too much of a microwave mentality even in church, if you will allow me. We want everything like this. Instant problem fixed, instant maturity, instant spiritual strength, instant answered prayer, instant discipleship, and we stand in front of the microwave and we tap our foot and come on, what's this thing? And maybe I just need to get alone with the good shepherd and fall on my face, whether it's physically or even just in heart, and say, Lord, I'm crying out to you because I need you. I do trust you. And this thing is weighing me down. It's causing me problems within, it's causing me problems with others. And Lord, if you want it, here it is. Trust God. Cast, then I'm open to receive all that God has for me. So trust God, cast, and receive. And would you look at verse 22 again? Psalms 55, 22. And I wanna ask you, would you consider, this is gonna be my meditation verse for the week. I'm gonna try to not only memorize it, but I wanna learn it. I wanna get it in me so that I live it out. And if you don't have a scripture that you already are planning on doing that this week, would you consider joining me in Psalm 55, 22? Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. That word sustain means to hold or to provide. To hold, so I'm casting and the Lord's got me. He'll sustain me and he's gonna provide for me. I looked that word up because some of you remember when Elijah, God told him there was a famine in the land and he told him to go to this particular brook. And he said, you go to that brook and that brook is gonna provide your water. Does anyone know how God provided something other than water, the food? That's right. I think it's 1 Kings 17:4. God commanded ravens, an unclean bird, to supernaturally bring food to his prophet. So I look at it like this, spiritually. If I do it's out of our fellowship with the Lord. As I stay in close fellowship with the Lord and I cast my burdens, he sustains me. He feeds me supernaturally with some spiritual food that I need to do his will. But you see how I cast, then he feeds. He sustains, he holds me. If you wanna write this scripture down, hang it, I'm almost done. If you wanna write this scripture down, it's in the book of Psalms, and let me read it to you, Psalms 37. Psalms 37 says this, because that verse that we're focusing on today really is that he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and the Lord shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What does that mean? Move there means to be like removed, to fall and to fall away. This is what the Bible says about our fallings. is Psalms 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Or a good woman. Y'all are good women. You're good women online. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and God delights in your way. Though you fall, I'm going to say it that way, you shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds you with his hand. So not only does he feed us when we cast, because we do stumble and fall along the way in our walk and journey with the Lord, don't we? But the Lord doesn't give us the boot and remove us. He says, no, I'm going to come along and I'm going to help you up and I'm going to strengthen you and I'm going to keep you going. I'll be your strength. I'm going to sustain you. You might fall, but I'm not kicking you out. I got you and I'm going to stand you back up and keep you going in the right direction if you just stay in close fellowship. The Lord is good. I want to give you three, real quick. I'm going to close with this. Three of the blessings. Not, there are more than three. How many know God has more than three blessings for us? But let me give them to you. And I'll just turn to one scripture. Let me tell you the first one, and then I'll ask you to turn to the scripture there on the second and third, because it's the same verse for them. So here is the first blessing that we can receive from God. The first blessing is simply Jesus. Jesus. That's found in the book of John. I'll read you that in just a moment. Trust God, cast and receive. Trust God, cast and receive. We read these words about Jesus in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. It says he came to his own or his own people, and as a rule, his own people did not receive him. Many did not receive him as the Messiah at that time. But verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. See how faith and trust and believing all comes back in there together? It always comes back to that. So trust. So the first blessing is we can receive Jesus and receive everything that comes with him. If we don't have Jesus, we won't have the rest. It's a package deal. You want the blessings of God? You got to have Jesus. We've got to have him because we have all sinned, the Bible says. We've all broken God's commandments, and our sin, the sin in our hearts, separates us from a holy God, not only in this life, but for all eternity. But thank God he loved us so much that he said, no, I'm not going to have eternity without you. And I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to allow my son to live a perfect life in front of you and show you what I want. And then I'm going to allow you to take him and crucify him and murder him on a cross. But 3 days later, I'm going to raise him up and I'm going to do it to pay for all your sins, every sin you have or you ever will commit. And not only am I going to forgive your sins if you believe in him, I'm going to credit you with all of my righteousness. And then I'll be with you in life. You'll be with me forever. And every spiritual blessing in Christ is yours. Would you look at verse 12? I write in my Bible. Notice the words, received, become, and believe. See, if we believe God's testimony of his word about Jesus, and we receive Jesus as our Lord, then we become children of God. And he adopts us as his sons and daughters into his family. Last scripture, Romans chapter 5. Would you turn there with me? So trust God, cast, and receive. So the first blessing we can receive is Jesus as Lord. And then because if we do that, we get all the rest of these blessings. I'll mention these two real quick, and then we'll share the communion time. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense, speaking of how Adam as our ancestor plunged the humanity into sin, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so, I'm sorry, verse 17, I'm skipping ahead. For if by one man's offense death reigned, would you say death reigned? Through the one, much more. I love those words. There are several times in the New Testament. Much more. Would you say that with me? Much more. He's a much more God. Sin might say this, but much more. The devil might do that, but much more. Much more, he says, those who receive abundance of grace. So the second blessing we can receive is not only Jesus, but grace. And I love how it words it there. It's abundant grace. It's not just a little bit. It's abundant, overflowing, more than enough grace. Abundant grace. And this is so important. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me give you a third. Let me keep going, then I'll wrap it up. I want to tell you something about this. Because it's by God's grace. You know what? God loves us, but it's not just his love that saves us. We're saved by grace through faith. So grace saves us, grace transforms us, grace strengthens us, grace helps us. We need the grace of God for victory so we can receive. But I've got to cast, I hope this is making sense. We trust God, I've got to cast this so I can receive this. So receiving Jesus, receiving, and then grace opens the way for God's peace. It's never peace and grace. In the scripture, it's grace and peace. You want God's peace? We got to have his grace. And thank God we can receive it. And then still in that verse, let me read it again. For as by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So the third and final blessing that we're just focused on today is righteousness. So receive Jesus, receive grace, and receive righteousness. Five times in those three verses, 15, 16, and 17, the scripture says that it's a gift. When we were in our time of worship and we sang that song, Sea of Victory, I remember the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 where it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory must be received as a gift. Yes. Then we take that gift that we receive by faith and we live it out in order to have victory in our lives over whatever it is. But see, here is the issue. Oh, in fact, no, I do need to tell you this. I hope you write this down, please. I need to make sure this is so important. When it says those who receive, I almost forgot it. That literally says who are receiving. It's not a one-time event. God says, I've got a continual stream of abundant grace and the gift of righteousness coming for you. Now, it's not that we're always getting saved, but we need that gift of righteousness and abundant grace of God to reign in life. So if I have burdens and cares and anxieties and worries, and I've come to church. Oh, how are y'all today? Well, I can choose to hold on to it. The Bible doesn't say God's going to come and rip it out of our arms, out of our hearts, our minds, but we don't have to. He loves us, and as a father, he doesn't want us living this way. I know we feel it, we experience it, we get it. We can all relate, can't we? But how can I receive? I can receive Jesus, but I can't really fully enjoy all his blessings. Do you see why I said to be a good receiver, got to be a good caster? And to be a good caster, we got to be a good truster. So I'm asking you this morning, will we trust God enough to cast anything and everything that is hindering us from receiving all that he has for us? And if we will, even by faith this morning, to label it, name it, or today sometime write it down and say, Lord, I'm casting this worry, I'm casting this anxiety, I'm casting this care, I'm casting this burden onto the great I am because you care for me, and I'm gonna open up. I'm receiving, I already know you as Lord, but I'm receiving your abundant grace, and I'm receiving the gift of righteousness so I can reign over sin, I can reign over selfishness, over pride, and all of this mess that God doesn't want reigning in my life. I experience it, I feel it, I'm human, but I don't have to let that control me if I'm receiving the abundant grace and gift of righteousness for the victory that the Lord purchased for us at Calvary. Amen. Trust God, cast and receive. The devil will make sure, life will always give an excuse why we can't. I'm gonna ask you, would you put it away today and just say, I don't need all the answers, I just need Jesus. And I'm gonna trust, and I'm gonna cast, and then I'm gonna gratefully receive. Now, we don't cast our responsibilities or our compassion, but we are to cast everything the Word of God tells us to cast. Let's do our part, and we still might wrestle with the emotion and the physical and the mental and all of that, okay, but let's do our part and trust God for what we can't do. You're loved. Will you trust? Will you cast? And will you receive from the one who loves you and cares for you? Can we stand together? Before we share this time of communion, that's a time of receiving too, isn't it? Father, we just come to you right now. And Lord, just ask you to search our heart, search my heart. I'll speak for me. Lord, help me not to carry anything you don't want me to carry. Help me to trust you, to lay it down, and then trust you and open up to receive from you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just let me pray for you right now? Come on, no hindrance, nothing between our heart and God's. Let's receive everything he has for us today. But if you want prayer, you say, Brother Rocky, I'm feeling that burden, the care, the worry, anxiety. Would you pray for me right now? Would you just slip up your hand right there where you are? Thank you. Thank you so much. You can put them down. Real people, real people. Those of you online, to email me if you want. Father, I lift up my hands with these too. Lord, it is always something to weigh us down, to divide our heart and mind from you. But Lord, you love us. I pray that you would help us to trust you. We don't need to know everything. We don't need to know how it's all gonna work out. That's part of humility and trust. So Lord, I just wanna ask right now, would you help us? I don't think we can even trust you like we need to without your help. So I'm gonna ask, would you help us to just trust you and humble ourselves and release it, cast it, throw it today. No hindrances, no barriers. Would you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for caring for me. And because you care for me, I humble myself, I trust you, and I cast this burden, this care, this worry, this anxiety onto you. They're yours now. I put them in your hands, and my hands are open, and I receive abundant grace and the gift of your righteousness so I can reign as kings and priests that you've made us by your blood for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll just sing this little simple chorus and then we'll share the communion together. Lord, when I am weak, you are strong. Lord, when I am weak,
you are strong, always there to catch me when I fall.
Isn't that what we read?
Sometimes I cannot speak, but you become my song, always there to answer when I call. And I will trust you in the darkness, I will trust you in life's harshness, I will trust you, Lord, to guard over my heart. I will trust you and keep singing. I will trust you, dearly clinging. I will trust you and keep bringing you my heart.
In quietness and trust.
In quietness and trust, you will be my strength. And Father, I trust you with my heart.
Let's sing this last verse. Lord, when I can't see,
Lord, when I can't see, you are light, piercing through confusion to my heart. But one day I'll be free, and faith will become sight. Oh, give me grace until I'm where you are.
When I would trust,
I would trust you in the darkness, I would trust you in life's harshness, I will trust you, Lord, to guard over my heart. I will trust you and keep singing. I will trust you, dearly clinging. I will trust you and keep bringing you my heart.
Quietness and trust.
In quietness and trust, you will be my strength. And Father, I trust you with my heart. With my heart.